Good morning. Has anyone ever heard of the concept of a perpetual motion machine? Okay, we have several who are familiar with the concept of a perpetual motion machine. For those of you who are unfamiliar with what that is, it is basically a machine that can hypothetically do work without an energy source. This is literally like one of the holy grails of physics, is to create a machine that will continue to work without having any type of an energy source added to it. So a simple form, just to kind of explain this a little further, a simple form of this type of machine would be like a wheel, right, that is spinning. And the spinning motion of that wheel would then create energy that would then be used to put back into the wheel so that the wheel would keep on spinning. And so the idea is that the wheel wouldn't stop spinning, and so it's constantly creating its own source of energy, and so it just keeps on spinning perpetually. Now, the reason this is a hypothetical concept is because nobody has actually created a perpetual motion machine that actually works. A lot of people have designed plans for something that seems like it could work, but it never actually works. As a matter of fact, the United States Patent Office has decided to stop putting patents on people's ideas of perpetual motion machines unless they can prove that it actually works. Because they get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these that they just can't keep up with processing them. Perpetual motion machine. The reality is that in order for something to move, there needs to be an energy source that keeps it moving. It is basically the law of physics, and the fact that people haven't been able to create a perpetual motion machine proves it, that you need energy, and it's usually a finite source of energy to keep something moving. So we see this law at work in our lives, right? We need food, right, to keep our bodies working and functioning in the way that it needs to function. It's not an infinite source of energy because we get hungry again and we have to go back to the cafeteria or into our kitchens and we have to feed ourselves some food again, right? So that we could have more energy to keep moving. We see this in our automobiles as well, right? In our automobiles, we need gasoline, or in the 21st century, electricity, to keep our automobiles moving and working the way that they're supposed to do. But it's not an infinite source of energy. Eventually, the gasoline runs out. You got to go back to the gas station and fill up your tank. Or in the case of an electric car, you got to go back to your garage and plug it into your wall, which, by the way, is connected to an electric grid, which is connected to an electric plant that is producing that energy. It's not an infinite source of electricity. Or we take a look at our cell phones, right? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had cell phones that never lost power? But that's not the case, right? Our cell phones have a finite reserve of energy, and once that energy is consumed, we gotta plug it back in, recharge our phones so that they can keep working the way that they're supposed to work. Any type of machine, actually any type of biological or machinal situation needs a source of power. It shouldn't surprise us then to discover that our mission, we've been talking about our mission every morning, we've been talking about how Jesus has called us to go on mission for him to every kind of person with a very specific message. And it shouldn't surprise us to understand or to learn that that mission, in order to keep moving forward, in order for it to keep accomplishing what it is designed to accomplish, that mission also needs a source of power. We cannot accomplish that mission without some sort of power in our lives to keep propelling us forward. Luckily, Jesus has offered to give us that source of power, and we can discover it in the book of Acts. If you open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 1, we're going to take a look at what Jesus has to say about that source of power. Acts chapter 1. Let's start in verse 4. It says, on one occasion, while he, talking about Jesus, was eating with them, talking about the disciples, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Disciples, they crack me up. They're still, here's the resurrected Jesus, right? He just conquered death, the consequences of sin. And they're still thinking about Jesus' earthly kingdom here. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus promised his disciples, and that promise extends to each one of us today by virtue of our relationship to Jesus. He promises to give us power in the form of his Holy Spirit actively at work in our lives. The Holy Spirit is the energy source of our mission. Without the Holy Spirit, we may do an okay job at reaching people, but ultimately we will run out of gas. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers us and activates us to go into the world with power and energy to proclaim to a lost world the message of Jesus Christ. And there are three reasons why I believe the Holy Spirit is so important in our mission and in our ability to accomplish the mission that Jesus has given us. And the first reason is because the Spirit is equivalent to having Jesus with us continually. Having the Holy Spirit is exactly like having Jesus with us. If you don't believe me, turn to the book of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14, verses 16, 17, and 18. John 14, 16, 17, and 18. Jesus is talking here, and he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Who is that advocate? Bible says in verse 17, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. And then Jesus says in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. Thank God. So how are you not leaving us as orphans if you're planning to go back to the Father? He says, I will come to you, all right? How are you going to come to us? It is in the power of the Holy Spirit that he comes to us. You see, Scripture teaches us that when Jesus was ascending into heaven, his plan was to leave with us his Spirit. His plan was to leave with us his Holy Spirit because he didn't want to leave us as orphans. He didn't want to leave us on our own. And so his Holy Spirit is essentially the equivalent of having Jesus here with us on earth. But in some ways, it is better than Jesus because the Holy Spirit is able to be in multiple locations at the same time. The Holy Spirit is able to be with me as I minister to people in Orlando. And the Holy Spirit is also, at the same time, able to be with you as you minister to people here in the great state of West Virginia. In some ways, the Holy Spirit is better than having Jesus because Jesus is confined, but the Holy Spirit is everywhere. In verse 18, Jesus equates the Holy Spirit with himself. When he says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And he comes to us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You see, when the Holy Spirit is present in our lives, we don't have to worry about whether or not Jesus is present with us. That's good news. That's comforting to know that the Holy Spirit is the same as having Jesus with us. Of course, this shouldn't surprise us because in the same way that Jesus and the Father are one, Jesus and the Spirit are one as well. Jesus is with us through the Holy Spirit. And that's why having the Holy Spirit in our lives, that is why the presence of the Holy Spirit as we live out our lives in the mission that Jesus has given to us, that's why it becomes effective. Because it's as if Jesus is with us. It becomes effective. But that's only the first way that the Holy Spirit gives us power and is able to help us to accomplish our mission. There's another way. And that's because the Spirit both leads us to and keeps us in the truth. The Holy Spirit leads us to and keeps us in the truth. John chapter 14 there, same chapter that we've been looking at, verses 25 and 26. Jesus says, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit has a very specific work to do in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. Not only is the Holy Spirit a conduit of sorts that puts us in the presence of Jesus continually, but the Holy Spirit also teaches us and reminds us. The Spirit teaches us and reminds us. When the Holy Spirit teaches us, what it is doing is that it is bringing to our minds, it is bringing to our attention truths. And a lot of times they are truths that maybe we haven't considered before. Or, in a slightly different way, he brings to our minds old truths, but repackaged in a new way. Old truths that we are very familiar with, but haven't considered in a different sort of light. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to teach us and to teach us continually. That's why when we go back to Scripture and we study sometimes even the same passages of Scripture that we've studied many times before, sometimes we can see something in a new way, in a different way. That is the Holy Spirit at work, teaching you, helping you to understand something in a new way, in a new light. That's the teaching work of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit also has a reminding work in our lives. When the Holy Spirit reminds us of truth, that means that it's bringing back old truths, truths that we may have forgotten, but we need to be reminded of again in our lives. Now, we see the work of the Holy Spirit throughout church history in a very macro sense, right? When you think of the Reformation, right? The Reformation was a necessary movement that brought back truths into the consciousness of Christians that they may have forgotten, right? It is through the Reformation that we bring that truths were brought back to Christians, truths like we're saved by grace through faith. The Holy Spirit was at work in the movement of the Reformation to bring back those truths that people have forgotten. He wasn't in a sense, he was teaching, but also in a macro level, he was reminding. Teaching and reminding. They go hand in hand because the fact of the matter is that we have a tendency to forget. And so the Holy Spirit is teaching and reminding us, teaching us and reminding us. We need both of these things. We need both the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit and the reminding ministry of the Holy Spirit if we are going to be faithful in our witness. We talked about yesterday that we have been given a message. It is a message of repentance and forgiveness. But here's the thing. Sometimes we veer off that message. Sometimes we get distracted from that message. But the Holy Spirit is there to teach us and to remind us that we need to get back on the right message. Because if we veer off and move in a different direction and start chasing after things that are not really on message, then we lose our mission. We lose our focus. But the Holy Spirit is there to catch us, because we all do it. We all chase after theological rabbits. But the Holy Spirit is there to put us back, to teach us and to remind us that it's all about Jesus Christ. If we only focus on the new, right? On the stuff that Jesus is teaching us, our message will be off balance because it will lack the foundation of the old. But if we only focus on the old, right? On the reminding of old truths, then we become irrelevant because the old truths need new packaging to reach today's people. Listen to what I'm saying here. I'm saying that the message never changes, but sometimes the way we package that message needs to be a little bit different so that we can reach the people of today. And it is the Holy Spirit that enables us to do that. It is the Holy Spirit that both teaches us and reminds us. It keeps us balanced so that we preach the message with conviction and unadulterated, but we can also preach it in such a way that we can reach people here today with the message of Jesus Christ. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to do that. So the Holy Spirit is like having Jesus with us continually, but the Holy Spirit is also putting us, leading us into truth and keeping us in the truth. But there's one more way that I believe that the Holy Spirit empowers us to complete the mission. And that third way is ability. The Spirit empowers us with gifts to help us reach people for Jesus. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. It says here, the Apostle Paul is writing, he says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines." Everyone is given a gift, or as we just read here, a manifestation of the Spirit. Notice the term "each one." You know what that means? That means that we all get it. Every last one of us. There is no room for exceptions. God has gifted each one of us with some sort of ability that we can use to help reach someone for Jesus. It's up to us to discover what that gift is. But it's a promise. It is a promise. Jesus says to each one, that's verse 7, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And then he ends it in verse 11. He says, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. You're an each one, friend. You have been given a gift. You have been given a unique set of skills so that you can minister in your context to reach people with the message of Jesus Christ. And not only is everyone given a gift, but everyone is given a gift to be used for the common good. That's what verse 7 says. For the common good. You know, there's some people who think that they are God's gift to the world when it comes to evangelism. Right? That they can single-handedly reach the world for Jesus. But that's not the case. That's actually not what Scripture teaches us. Scripture teaches us that the Holy Spirit gives everyone a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Everyone has been given a unique gift, but in order for that gift to be used the most effectively, all of these gifts have to come together. They all need to be combined so that they work together in a seamless fashion so that more people can be reached for Jesus. I can't do it on my own. Pastor Mike can't do it on his own. We need each other because the Holy Spirit has called you to a specific work, to a specific task that you and only you can use to reach people for Jesus. And together, we're able to reach more people than we can ever think or imagine. You know, it's said that when it comes to church ministries, that it's about 20% of the people doing 80% of the work, right? Have you ever heard that? It's always just a small group of people doing all the work. 80% of the congregation, they kind of sit back and they don't really do much. They let that 20% of the congregation do all the work. You know, when we do that, we're actually missing out on what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through our church. Because if only 20% of the congregation is doing something, then that means that there is 80% of untapped Holy Spirit power that could be used in our church, not only to revitalize that church, but to then go out into our communities and reach people for Jesus. Everyone, every single person who has fallen at the feet of Jesus is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You have a task to do that when put together with other people's tasks, you can accomplish anything in the power of the Holy Spirit. So instead of working by ourselves, God's design is that we all work together as a community of believers for the common good of reaching people for Jesus. Now you can see why it is impossible to accomplish our mission without the power of the Holy Spirit. Because in order for us to accomplish our mission, we need Jesus. And the presence of the Holy Spirit is the same thing as having Jesus' presence with us. We need Jesus. But we also need the truth. And it is the Holy Spirit who teaches us and reminds us the truths that we need to stay focused on. We need the Holy Spirit. But we also need the gifts and the talents and the abilities that the Holy Spirit gives to everyone to work together for the common good of reaching people for Jesus. You see, without the Holy Spirit, we can't do it. It is impossible. But thank God that Jesus said, I do not leave you as orphans. I don't leave you on your own. I don't leave you wandering like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus says, I give you the Holy Spirit to accomplish the mission. The nice ladies in the cafeteria were kind enough to give me a glove. Now I can help myself. No, I'm just kidding. This glove, if I set it right here on this chair, is it going to fold that chair when camp meeting's over and put it away where it needs to go? No, certainly isn't. If I take this glove and I put it over here on the piano, is it going to start playing that piano for our song service? What if I leave it there, you know, for the next hour or so? You think it'll be ready to start playing the piano? No, certainly is not. Looks like there's a violin or a ukulele here. Do you think it'll do the same thing here? No. I mean, it's illogical to think that this glove has any ability in and of itself to accomplish any type of task. In order for this glove to really do anything, it needs somebody to put their hand in that glove. And now, the glove can do just about anything that the person can enable it to do, right? Now, the glove can take this chair and put it away. Now, this glove can go over to the piano and start playing the keys or whatever instrument is sitting over here. Now, the glove has the ability to do something that it used to not be able to do. That is what the Holy Spirit does in our lives as it comes to the mission. You see, we are like this glove. By itself, we can't do anything. But once we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, the sky is the limit. We can reach people we never even dreamed of reaching. We just got to let the Holy Spirit do his job. And I'm willing to let the Holy Spirit do whatever he needs to do in me. The question is, are you willing to let the Holy Spirit do whatever it is he needs to do in you? Let's pray. Gracious Father, we need your Holy Spirit. For without it, we cannot accomplish the extraordinary mission that you have given us. And so, Lord, we stand before you as empty vessels, waiting to be filled with the power of your Holy Spirit. Because we want to complete the mission. We want to do what you have asked us to do. We see that there's a world that desperately needs the message of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit today and every day hereafter so that we can work together to accomplish the mission. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.